Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, for those who know me, is John Wesley, and in the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. For those that do know me, I am a Messianic pastor, a Messianic rabbi, and our quest on this show is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which tend to always answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Yeshua. For most of you out there, your spiritual husband. Now, at this time, I have the distinct honor again to bring to you and to present to you the second half of our co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to say that I'm glad to be a co-host of the show. It's truly a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 43rd show, and we will continue to address the question of how to have worship within our relationship with Yah now and meeting Him in that inner court. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and pray at this time and just invite the Ruach HaKodesh to come in and just begin to be the teacher for all of us. So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, thank you. We bless you and I bless you this day, asking you to forgive me of sin, iniquity, and transgression in the name of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua, that He has already provided for us. So I thank you for that, Father God, right now in the name of Yeshua. I thank you that you also give us the strength to forgive those of sin, iniquity, and transgression. So with that, Father, we just ask that you allow your spirit, your Ruach, to hover and to abode all over this particular message and this set and each individual that's listening, to include myself, Father, because we all are in expectancy. We're all spiritually pregnant with the desire to hear what you have to say so that we can walk in right relationship with you and fulfill all the chiastic structure, all the call, all the purpose for why you have placed us here on this earth. We give you the honor. We give you the praise right now in Yahushua's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And real quick, I'm going to pass it to you, Evangelist Tanita, and if you could give us an overview of exactly what we talked about last week so that we could launch into what the Father is wanting to speak to us about pertaining to the question this week.
Yes. And so we're continuing to answer the question of how we're supposed to worship God now and meet Him. Last week we went to Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and it was dealing with us understanding that David, God looked past all that David did because he would do Yah's will. He was willing to just sacrifice everything for his relationship with Yah. One of the things you pointed out was that we have to make sure that the enemy knows that even in our situations that we apply the blood of Yeshua to it, but it's been put on the cross. We are to leave it at the blazing altar, and we can apply it so that we can apply and enter into the Holy of Holies. Yah saw David's desire to have a relationship with Him. David wanted to be a doorkeeper and instead of what his son asked for, wisdom. And so actually he was asking for the present for eternity. There were three anointings that David received, garments. One was that one of the king, the priest, and the prophet. The one that he used, or the only one, as you pointed out to us, that gives us the presence of Yah is the priest. And that is the one that David desired. David forsook all to have him. And this is what David had was what Adam and Eve had in the cool of the day. You also went to Lamentations 3, verse 23, dealing with the new mercy. And Yah does not is not concerned about our stuff or getting our stuff. He's more concerned about us receiving what we need from him, going from the outer court to the inner court. And you told us it was like celebrating Yom Kippur every day. And this is the type of relationship that Adam and Eve had with Yah every day in the Garden of Eden. You said everything, Yah wants us to spend time with him. One of the things that he's looking for is for us to give a tithe of our worship, a tithe of our day. Yah has an A plan, and then we have a B plan. But if our B plan doesn't line up with his A plan, then we need to forsake the B plan and go with his A plan. And you also stated that the mercy seat is intimacy. You concluded with Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, and you told us to daily look for him, to give our sacrifice, to wash ourselves, to look for him, and also to look and wait for him before we move to the next place, because it's important to go from the outer court to the inner court. And what you stated is there are two paths that we can take once we get to the inner court. We can either take the path of righteousness or we can take the path of darkness. And you were referencing Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Dunn.
Okay, and that's excellent. And what I'd love for you to do at this point is to go ahead and read that Proverbs chapter 2.
Yes.
Going forward, especially verse 13, and then we'll go from there and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to set a pictorial platform for us to be able to know which door, which way to go, amen, and which way to not go, amen?
Amen. And so Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, and I'm reading the New King James Version. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil and from the man who speaks perverse things. For those who lead the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness.
Now, connecting that with another proverb, and that is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. So, Evander, Sunita, if you could go ahead and get that, and before we begin to really dive into what are the blessings and the obstacles in the inner court. This particular aspect is going to be pertaining to not only the blessings or the righteous path, but the unrighteous path that we can actually find ourselves in the holy place, in the tent of meeting, okay? And that is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19.
Okay. Proverbs 4, verse 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble.
So the way of the wicked, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble, is another version or translation. So that gets us to where we need to be from a standpoint of going from the outer court to the inner court. I believe it's in Zechariah. And if you can get Zechariah for me just to verify, Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Zechariah, of course, is one of the prophets, and one of the things about Zechariah is that he, more so than most of the other prophets, to include Isaiah, had the most amount of impact of the framework of the book Revelation with John the Revelator, the Apostle John. Most of his book, most of Zechariah's book, frames out a larger piece of the book Revelation. So it's imperative for us to understand that Zechariah is not only speaking to his individuals in his day, but more importantly, Zechariah's message was for us in our day. So with that in mind, we can begin to listen to what is being said in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Okay? If you can go ahead.
Yes. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel.
Now, it's imperative that we understand something here. And we've talked about this in other broadcasts, that there are two sets of garments, distinctly different but yet similar, that the high priest wore for different occasions. For only one special occasion per year, we talked about the Yom Kippur, we talked about the Day of Atonement, he would only wear the linen garment with the sash and with the turban, as well as the omelet that was over the forehead, over the frontal lobe, connected to the turban that said, "Holy, you know, holy, holy unto the Lord." Now, that was only for him to wear if he was going to go past the veil in order to go into the Holy of Holies, pertaining to and addressing Yah at the mercy seat. Now, if he wasn't going to do that, then we know that he would have his ephod, the robe of the ephod, and he would have that particular garment. And he would only make it as far as the holy place. And then from there, he would go out and minister to the people. Now, the question begs to be asked pertaining to this situation. And that question is this: where was Joshua the high priest going? Okay? That is the question. Where was Joshua the high priest going? Okay? Was he only going into the Holy of Holies, or was he going just to the holy place in order to be able to minister to the people? Where was he going? Now, the other question to be asked here in this particular scenario is, wherever he was going, he met up with two angelic beings of sizable girt as well as spiritual authority. He met up with what we come to know and understand as the incarnate Christ, or the angel of the Lord, but he also met up with Hasatan, Lucifer, the fallen angel. Both of these individuals were in the holy, well, let's put it this way. Both of these individuals were in the tent of meeting. Now, when I say tent of meeting, what I'm saying is, I'm saying that both of them were in the inner court. Now, we know and understand, if we've been to Vacation Bible School or have had any type of teaching pertaining to the Tabernacle of Moses, we know that in the inner court, there was a veil that divided that particular inner court in half. So with that being said and understood, then the question still remains, were these angels in the holy place, meaning on the outer side of the veil from the Holy of Holies and the all of the artifacts that were there, the mercy seat and all, you know, and all of that that's within the mercy seat, okay? Or were they inside the Holy of Holies? Well, we can look at this from a standpoint of what clothing did he have that would cause him to be unclean from where he was getting ready to go? Well, the answer is the clothing that he would have would be the priestly clothing that he would wear in order to go in for Yom Kippur, because that was the actual act of purification. Hasatan would know, because his main purpose at that particular point was to cause accusation to the brethren and to point out fault, which, in fact, with the priest, there was a fault. He was unclean. He was unable in that particular state to enter into the Holy of Holies, to pierce the veil. It was not going to happen. So when we go back and look at this story, we can begin to apply this to our worship. We can begin to apply this to our relationship. We can begin to apply this to what is the ultimate summit of worship, is to be in the presence of Yah. When we go to a service, or when we get up and desire to be with God, it's to be in the presence of God. That presence, where he is, would be the Holy of Holies, as far as representation. Particular case. What we have is a situation where there was an act, or there was a step that was not done properly in order for Joshua the high priest, according to the biblical narrative, to be able to enter in. When you read that story again, one of the things that will come out is that when he was accused, when Joshua was accused, the high priest, when he was accused, the incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, never said that his clothes were not filthy. That was never the question. That was the obvious. The clothes were filthy, therefore he could not enter into the Holy of Holies. But it was the incarnate Christ that pointed out at that particular time that, and this is a spiritual understanding and a spiritual implication, symbolic, that he would pay the price in order for the high priest, Joshua, to enter into the Holy of Holies. But first, Joshua had to have his clothes changed. And that's what happened. So how does that interrelate to us? How does that interrelate to our worship and our relationship with Yah and us entering in? How does that even relate to the place of darkness that we talked about and that I alluded to on last broadcast? Hasatan was in the inner court. He represented the place of darkness. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, was saying that the individual that was walking in wickedness did not know that they were stumbling, did not know that they were in error. Joshua, in this particular case, was unaware that he had the representation of filth, which is sin, iniquity, and transgression, upon him. But Yeshua, one of his many jobs was to ensure, or his task was to ensure that the high priest came and successfully was able to pierce the veil. When we look at the furniture that's in the holy place, One of the things that we begin to realize when we first come in, when you first come into that, the holy place, the first thing you're going to see is the menorah. And the menorah, as we talked about this before, represents the seven spirits of God, which also is an echo of more definition in the book Revelation, when it talks about the seven spirits of God. We have to understand that even with those seven spirits of Yah, in the midst of that, going back now, or actually going fast-forwarding to the encounter on Patmos with John and with the incarnate Christ, that's what he saw first. He saw the menorah, and then he saw Christ within the midst of that menorah coming to him. In every aspect of those furnishings, the menorah, the showbread, the table of showbread, as well as the altar of incense, in all three of those furnishings, Yeshua is the central focal point in all of them. Well, where do we get this darkness from? What are you talking about as far as the darkness? The darkness begins when Yeshua and our focus on Yeshua ends. Now, I'm going to say that again because that's powerful for us to understand. That the darkness of evil begins the moment we begin to take our eyes off of Yeshua. The moment that we're looking at the menorah, and we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and we're looking at all of that, but yet in the midst of that menorah was what? Yeshua. When we play back the book Revelations and the encounter that John had, we quickly begin to see, and we recognize. If we look at that and then we take the template of Moses' tabernacle, we know exactly where John was. Now remember, John had this encounter while he was doing what? What was John doing before this encounter happened? Well, the scriptures are very clear. They say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So it was a Sabbath. Just like the lunar solar Sabbath that we're having tonight. It was a Sabbath. That's not a coincidence. And he was before the Lord in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, boom, he was thrusted into the inner court. And in the inner court, he goes through seeing all of these furnishings that are in the holy place. He sees the menorah, but it's in the background because Yeshua is very, very clear to him. And his main focus is on not the menorah, but Yeshua. Then he sees the showbread, but his main focus is on Yeshua. Then he sees the altar of incense, but his main focus is on Yeshua. We'll go into this more in detail in the next broadcast, but the importance that is something that we need to make sure that we get is that when you reach the inner court, you will know it because that will be the time when Yeshua will come and present himself in the same manner in which, as John began to empty himself of sin, iniquity, and transgression and begin to prepare himself in the Spirit, Yeshua showed up. when Ananias was praying in the book of Acts, and we're talking about the good Ananias and not Ananias and Sapphira, Yeshua shows up. When Yeshua shows up, assuming that you are in a spiritual posture and you're reaching out for him and desiring him, then at that moment you're being thrusted into the inner court. When you feel or sense that happening to you in your worship, especially in your private time, make sure that you keep your eyes on Yeshua. As you see and begin to sense the manifestation of the Spirit moving, keep your eyes on Yeshua. Don't ever allow situations, circumstances, and things of this world and things of the other world to come to get your mind and your eyes off of that relationship with Yeshua. Because it's Yeshua's responsibility. He says this in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. He says, through the Apostle Paul, that Yeshua's job is to help to sanctify us by the washing of the word and to bring us to His Father. His Father represents the area of the Holy of Holies. We can't have any spots or wrinkles. We can't have any dis-ease on our being before we go to see His Father. That's not the case when we have the robe of the ephod and we're ministering to the people. But that is the case each day when we're trying to look for and acquire the new mercies that have been laid up for us. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to pass it to you, Evangelist Tanita, to share with everyone and kind of give them an idea of how to get in touch with us and all of that. And then I'll pray afterwards.
Amen. Thank you again, another truly blessed show, and thank you for helping us to truly understand how to enter into that holy place in our personal relationship with Yeshua and the Father. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is Bethesham Ministry, and there are two websites in which you can research. The first one is bethesham.org, and that is bethesham.org. We have a Facebook page, and that is located at www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministry. If you would like to attend services, if you would please email us at bethesham@yahoo.com. Again, that is bethesham@yahoo.com for directions. For those that desire to have a deeper understanding, a more Hebraic understanding of the teaching, we have Zuhl College. And if you're interested in attending, if you email us at office@bethesham.org. Thank you for attending the show. Rabbi John.
All right. Praise God. Thank you. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we just lift up before you this show and everything that you desire to get out. Father, we pray that we allow you to move upon us so that you can speak to your people, so that you can encourage and strengthen get your people in a state of always believing you over every circumstance, over every situation. No matter what happens during the day, knowing that they've acquired the new mercy for that day. So, Father, we bless them, we bless you, and we thank you for all that you do in us and all that you do for us.
Yeah.
We give you the praise and the honor in Yahushua's name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.